What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
It's that time again. Another edition of Pucks in 7. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Damon Barber Canada. It's all about elevating your grooming experience. They offer premium products, a commitment to quality. Damon Barber, a name that resonates with those who appreciate finer things. To celebrate this, you are in for a treat. Go to DamonBarber.ca. Use the code PUCKSIN7. No space. 7 is the number. At checkout for an exclusive discount of 25% off all their fantastic products. So much to get into in this podcast. What we've done lately is we've gone west to east. But we'll begin with these. But before that, we kind of want to just, you want to bring up the whole thing about Pucks in 7. So you want to give the listeners a little bit of a more of an idea of what that means.
Back to the Damon Barber thing, the Pucks in 7 code for Damon Barber, and you can get these high-end grooming products for men. It's just wonderful, high-quality stuff. It's Valentine's Day. We should mention it is Valentine's Day.
Love
Day
all around.
We did a show last year on Valentine's Day as well. So this is becoming a little bit of a tradition. And if you haven't gotten your partner a gift yet, or even you want to treat yourself, this is a good occasion. You can go online, go to Damon Barber and pick something out for them, especially if they are into beard grooming and skincare and hair care and all the rest of it. It's just a small hint is all I'm saying. Okay, back to the podcast, Pucks in 7, and we will bring you, starting in the East, as Ryan just mentioned, 7 leading stories from the East to start. Take a quick break, then we're going to come back with the West, 7 leading stories from the West as well. Pucks in 7. We can start right off. We all know what the headline is.
No, I don't.
Nobody has talked about this at all.
No. No one said anything since it happened. Okay.
So Morgan Riley is suspended 5 games. We know that now because it is Wednesday morning, and he was suspended just before the Leafs game last night. So he sat that one out. So he has 4 more to go. 4, of course, cross-checking Ridly Gregg in the face after Ridly Gregg, young player, hot dogged it and slapped shotted. Clapped one right into
it. Is Mattyisms. It's whatever you say works, okay?
I'm trying to really hammer the puck into an empty net.
Thank you. That's more Victoria. Right. There we go. Yeah.
So I don't remember, Ryan, and you're gonna share your opinion in 2 seconds and then I'll share mine. But I cannot remember another time. Recency bias, of course. I can't remember another time that a suspension, potential suspension, punishment has been so polarizing amongst the NHL communities. There are players, fans outside, never mind Toronto, forget about it. Everybody says Toronto fans think this. It's not true. Fans, hockey players, pundits, broadcasters, and it stretches. They believe he either should get a pat on the back for doing the right thing, all the way to being suspended 5 million games. There's such a large swath here of what people think is the right thing. And I just think it just goes to prove the inconsistency of punishment in general and how these issues are being dealt with in the NHL. But first, what do you think? 5 games, appropriate? Yeah. No.
So we just back up a little bit when it did happen. One of the ops on the hot stove that I do on Sirius XM texted the group, Dave Pagnotta and Dennis Bernstein and I, and he said, what do you think Riley's going to get? And I said, he's probably going to get 5. I would have given him 2 or 3. So that was one thing. And that was even before the in-person hearing kind of happened. Right. So then when he was called to do the in-person, he knew it was at least 5 and above and all that type of thing. Here's my thing with that, because I do, first of all, let's go to what the Senators player did. I thought that was really Bush League. I thought that was beer league. I thought it was amateur. And he said, emotions caught up to me. That's fine, whatever. He'll get it to him at some point down the road. That's the code in the National Hockey League. You just don't do that. You just don't do that. I'm sorry. And so that was one thing. And whoever was on the ice, I mean, say Ryan Reeves was on the ice and say he was on the ice and trailing that play. and Reeves took the place of Riley and did what Riley did, I think it would have been a little bit worse than that. Now, Morgan Riley, unlike him, it's not what he does. He's not this type of player. He's passionate, but he's not a physical, rough kind of guy. The two things that stood out for me with this and why the NHL, I think, did this and looked more into it is that there was no jostling before the play. There was no this. There was no engagement at all, you know, say like a fight or a hit or anything that preceded that outside of a guy shooting a puck into a net in front of 5 feet. So I think the NHL took that into consideration when they thought this was premeditated, and it was. If Riley had the stick down a little bit more, if it wasn't so much of the face and the neck, if it was a little bit more on the shoulders, we wouldn't be there would be nothing going on at all. I think what the NHL has had to do for so long is do more for other suspensions, not like this one. There's so many that I can go back in time and look over and list that should have been longer suspensions than this, but it's not. So I think, to be honest, I think it's too much. I didn't think he deserved five. And I don't think, look, they gave him five, that's fine. But I think five games is too much.
You never cease to surprise me. I really thought you'd be the opposite on this one. Honest to goodness.
And let me just say this. It's not because we're from Toronto and he's a Maple Leaf. It's not.
No, I don't think it that's is, where you're coming
simply,
from at all.
I just think based on so much other things we've seen in the NHL, not just this year and years before, that was not a five-game suspension.
No, I agree with you. It should be seven. You and I are on very different pages higher. With this
okay.
one. Oh, absolutely.
Why seven?
When
Why
it
seven?
Happened, okay, first of all, when it happened, I was sitting on the couch, watched it live as well, was very surprised because, again, as you mentioned, not exactly Morgan Riley-esque, right? Hey, not exactly Mr. Virtue in this case, eh? Get it? Your spouse? Right.
Very good.
I don't crack them often, but I'm cracking that one. Anyway, I was very surprised by it. And I said instantly, I turned to Lair on the couch. I said, he's going to get three games. That's just what I instantly thought. He was going to get
Which I thought too. I said three.
And I also said, I followed that up with, it should be more. And the more I looked at it, he cross-checked a player in the neck face. I don't care that Greg was rude. I don't care that was poor sportsmanship. You know what? Go and punch the guy then. I mean, just be reasonable about this.
No, I get it.
I'm so big with the stick thing. It's a weapon, man. It's a weapon.
Okay.
You have to be in control of it. And he wasn't.
Okay, so you look back in history. There was one recent, whenever Zdeno Chara, he had a cross-check to Gallagher, I think, in the head. You watch that play. That is a direct cross-check with his stick, who's what? Chara 6'9"? That was worse than what we saw that Morgan Riley did. You go back and look at that. I'm totally on you with the whole idea of a stick. A stick is a weapon. They have that to obviously score and do things, but it's a weapon. Don't do that. But if you're going to give this guy five, you gave Chara one. If you're going to give him five for that, you should have given Chara 10 for that.
But
that's my whole issue.
You're always
with it.
Like, you don't care about the history. You don't care what they screwed up in the past. They had to get this one right.
Because of what the players screwed up in the past, based on their history. I didn't say about the department player safety. I'm saying if Chara was suspended 10 times before, okay, you don't really need to look back on that. That bothers me. But it's the whole thing about if you set the precedent then for that, you watch the video of that, and you tell me later on if you think that was a one gamer and Riley's was a five, why aren't they the same?
I understand where you're coming from. I just don't think it's relevant. We're starting today, and I think they have to start getting it right. They need to start getting
they
it right
They should have
now.
Gotten it right yesterday. They should have got – so do you think then they're using this incident as the bar to now get things right? Have they elevated it to now that – every time this stuff happens like that, I'm telling you something, you will see a lot more vicious, well, maybe you won't anymore, but there has been a lot more vicious cross-checks right to the face, to the jaw, to the neck than that one. It's a cross-check. It was bad to the face with the stick. But is this now the NHL saying, you know what? Yeah, we have to actually do the kid. This is
right.
What at least a five
game. We're
going to
wrap this because you and I are going to agree to disagree and we're going to split the difference. I think he should have gotten seven. You think he should have gotten three and he got five. And that's fine. One last bit on this, though. What do you think about Ryan Reeves' comment afterwards saying, bring violence back?
Yeah, see.
Bring violence back in hockey? Tattoo it on my body?
I'll be so quick with that. Ryan Reeves knows that his role in hockey is diminishing. He knows that there's not much of a place for him anymore. And especially this season with Toronto, he's not been very good. When you come out on opening night in Toronto and you flex your muscles as you're being introduced and you see Bradtree living up in the box looking down, smiling, that's fine. You're a tough guy. But the league doesn't fight anymore. It's not what this is anymore. So no, I didn't like it, but that is his mentality still, and he still wants that to be part of the game. He's going to be out of the game a lot sooner than people think because there's just no room for him anymore.
Okay, then we'll wrap. I mean, he's not going to play in the playoffs, or at least minimally. No. So
the Leafs may not even make the playoffs.
He's still in decent position, but yes, they won their first game. We should mention that the team came together. You want to mention your hat trick boy? Go ahead.
Bobby McCann. He was the man, Bobby McCann. Hey, I'm telling you this. It's fitting. It's fitting there's a game that happens that everyone's talking about Riley, and then not Austin Matthews, not Nylander. It's Bobby McCann with the hat trick. The fact that he did that bank shot, I bet you and I played pool a few times. We play pool with him, he'd kill us. That was not planned, but it looked kind of funny. Anyway, it was great. Great moment for him, and those things don't happen to those types of guys very much, if at all. Hats off to him, and literally hats did come off in Toronto.
It was fantastic. It was a great Leafs team win altogether. They really came together, and I think massively in support of Riley, who, because you're just going to, you know, win one for the Gipper type thing, right? You're going to bring that little extra. Yeah. And it's, I think that will continue the next four games as well. So I think that's how we're, the Leafs are not going to go 0-4 in the next four without Morgan Riley. And maybe this is going to be a rallying point for a team that hasn't had anything to really focus on.
It could even be a rallying point. Okay, go ahead.
That's really good.
Hey, there it is. Okay, enough. Let's move. Go. What next?
You can breathe now that you got one out of the way. Again.
Ovechkin. You and I said last time, I said, no, it's not happening. No, I don't see it. He goes to Dubai for the All-Star break, comes back, and what's happening? It's not only him scoring, but the team is scoring. Guess what? When he scores, the team does, and they win games. He's 60 away, Vic. I take everything I said back last week. Everything.
They're still not winning. They're still not winning a lot of games, to be perfectly honest. But it's fun to watch this.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch him. And now there's something we can track. And this is great for Capitals fans. It's the reason to tune in because they have not given fans a reason to tune in. They're not making the playoffs. But honest to goodness, what a difference a couple of weeks make. Isn't it insane? Sports is insane. We were like, it's never going to happen. And Gretzky is safe. You know what? He's just not doing it. Maybe he scores like 15 goals this year total, what have you, and then he goes on this 6-game run. So it's going to be interesting to see what he could do moving forward now. This is like the Oilers coming back from the All-Star game a little bit to me. The Capitals are now off for 3 days. I just wonder if he's going to appreciate that break. Maybe not, but it will be interesting to see what they can accomplish going forward. And if he scores, I don't know, 15 to wrap up, another 15 to wrap up this season, plays
then
a full season next
then
year.
Then he'll and then be 45 back. Then he'll be 45. I'm telling you.
Jennifer Botterill said on Sportsnet the other night, she thinks that he's going to continue to play until he gets it. And it's hard to argue that.
No, he
will. Just knowing the competitor that he is. But good for Ovi, scoring in six straight, giving Capitals fans a reason to tune in. I think it's fantastic.
And let me ask you this. If you or I or anybody else was close to a record that a lot of people thought would be unbreakable.
Not even a question.
A lot of people, right?
Even a question.
No one would not try to go as long as you can to break it. And nobody will say, because, oh my gosh, if you're 10 goals away and you score one in maybe 21 in 25 games, what about the 884 you scored before and you had 50 goal seasons every single time? That's what I mean. So anyway, good on. By the way, this is neat. The Capitals through 46 games, they averaged 2.3 goals, the third lowest since Ovechkin scoring, they're up to 3.6. 2.3. Up to 3.6. I'm just saying. They go hand in hand, just like you and I. Next stop. Where are we here? All over the place.
We're not even in the same country right now.
But we're still connected. You see, I see you. You're in red and white, by the way. I meant to say you got the Valentine's Day stuff on. Kind of. Igor Shesterkin, Jonathan Quick. I think there was some sort of discussion about that. Quick came in as backup not too long ago, played very well. Shesterkin is one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League. The Rangers are flying. Shesterkin looks better. Two words, watch out.
We talked about this last week, that we thought the Rangers were handling this well. So you can actually go back and listen to the podcast. We're not fibbing here.
No.
We did say that they were handling this perfectly.
We never fib.
No, we don't actually. That right? they were giving Shesterkin some time off. He was spending time with Allaire, the goaltending guru. He's watching a lot of tape. He was just taking a breather and figuring it out because he wasn't playing that well heading into the All-Star break. And they rolled out Jonathan Quick, who played spectacularly. Yes. And then there was little small rumblings of a goaltending controversy, which is obvious, complete horse manure, because Shesterkin is the number one goaltender in New York, and he comes back, he wins the first game, he was okay in the first game, and then he absolutely slams the door on a Flames team that was rolling, that actually had a lot of opportunities to win that game. Shesterkin was very good, first star in a shutout against the Flames. He's back, baby, just as you mentioned, and now between the two of them, the Rangers have won five straight, and now between Quick and Shesterkin, the Rangers have an option every single night, depending on the matchup, depending on who needs rest, depending on who's feeling good, who's rolling, who's not. And that's going to be dangerous. And Ryan, it's going to be extra dangerous rolling into the postseason. And the Rangers are making the postseason.
No, I don't. Yeah, of course. Imagine that. They're what? This is kind of like the Swayman and Allmark thing from last year, but Swayman got more starts than I think Jonathan Quick will by the time it's all done. But you're right. This is a luxury to have when you're a head coach and the team plays just as well in front of Quick as they do in front of Shesterkin. You know that shutout last night? That was his first one since April 8th, 2023. So I know wins are fine, but that's a long time for a goalie who's as good as him to get a shutout. But yeah, I'm with you. He is playing very, very well. Quick's playing well too. I'd be absolutely terrified if I was one of the teams taking on the Rangers. Say the playoffs began right now in round number one. Ottawa, they're not making the postseason. It's about getting out of the basement. They're getting out of the basement. I think this team will get out of the basement of that division. If they're playing like this for the next 2 weeks, it'll be within 2 weeks.
It's going to depend on what Montreal and Buffalo does in the meanwhile as well. But they are. No, the Ottawa Senators have won four straight. And if you actually look ahead to their schedule, I had it in front of me and now I just lost it. I'm going to look again. Okay, that's right. Listen to this. Okay, so they've won four straight. Yep. And they host the Ducks tomorrow, Anaheim.
Okay, yep.
Right? And then they visit Chicago.
Okay, two possible wins. Yes.
I'm not even looking beyond that. No, I'm not looking beyond that.
Okay.
Well, but that could be six, though. And if Ottawa wins six in a row, that's going to definitely be a talking point.
And that then would be 9-2-2 in 13 games. 9 wins in 13 if they do win those next two games.
It's one of those situations when you look at the lineup and at the beginning of the season, you're like, this team has a genuine shot to make some noise and threaten to you know, grab a playoff spot, maybe a wild card spot by the time. And then they don't, and they fumble, and they don't play particularly well. And now they do now. It's just this awful tease. This is the Buffalo Sabres last year, and probably the Sabres again this year, because that's their MO as well. But just to give this, you know, now you're dragging your fans. It's great. You always want your team to win rather than lose. There's no question of that. But just why couldn't they have started this, say, at the end of December and just make things a little bit more interesting? Because there is just way too much. They've got 46 points. The Leafs have 62 in fourth spot. Way too much real estate in between the two of them.
There is, and it seems like some of these teams do that, and they give Brady Tkachuk had a hat trick, which was great. They give fans a bit of a, okay, we're not that bad, but if you did that in October, November, December, that would be a little bit easier, of course. But anyway, we'll see. By the way, Vlady Tarasenko says, hey, I'm fine with staying too, if he is staying after the deadline on March 8th in the NHL.
I wonder how much of a market there is for him after we watched last year him joining the Rangers and doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I know, but there's sometimes I look at him. It's funny you mentioned that. The other night I was watching him a little bit, and I don't. Sometimes he does these things, which I think he would be such an added bonus. But you're right. Didn't quite work out for him, I guess, last year, but we'll see. You and I have talked at length about this, and we're going to talk at length about it until it happens. If it happens, number one is it has to happen. The Devils need a goaltender. Jack Hughes is coming out basically challenging Tom Fitzgerald to get a goaltender. And I'm paraphrasing, he basically says, yeah, it's amazing when you get saves in a game, how it works out and how it helps us win hockey games. That
Ouch.
Is a, yeah, that is a indirect, direct slam to the goaltenders, and not just to them, but Tom Fitzgerald as well. We've talked about this. They have to find somebody. This team is not going to win. They're not going to make it in one. If they do, they're not going to win anything if they don't have a goaltender. They're not going to do it with the goalies they have.
It sounds like they've been pretty close on Markstrom so far, though. It sounds like that language surrounding a potential deal there is starting to become quite vibrant.
Get it done before somebody else takes them. That's what I'm saying. You are desperate. There's a bunch of teams that need goalies. There's a few that need them in contention, and you're the team that's needed.
Yeah, but that's
for
probably
a time.
Craig Conroy thing, though, Ryan. Like, fair he's enough. Probably sitting back. The GM of the Flames
sure.
is sitting
yeah,
back.
Yeah.
You give me. I want to hear from everybody before
What's
I make
behind
a decision.
Window D, that's not as good as A. Okay, let's go. Yeah,
right. Because
yeah.
it's yeah. his job to maximize the return for one of the better goaltenders in the league. But it would be very interesting if that is brokered. I think it goes without saying New Jersey is going to have another goaltender, not named Vanecek, Dawes, or Schmid by the time that the trade deadline
John Gibson.
Has, yeah, it would be.
Sorry.
I know you want it so bad. I know you do. You know what? I'm not even going to text you if it ever happens. I'm calling you. I am calling you directly because it's just, you're going to be so pleased.
If it happens, I'm calling you. Don't worry. You're going to blow up with all the stuff I'm going to be sending you. Okay.
That would be an amazing deal. I will also say this. I want to ask you this first. Jack Hughes, young player, basically taking a jab at his GM, right? What did you think of that?
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Because I guarantee you every single person in that room is feeling it. The coach is feeling it. Even the goalies are probably feeling it. Like, we need some help here. We're not doing it for... I'm absolutely fine with it. And because the league has turned into a players' league. It has. It really has. Over time, I don't know about the other sports, but focusing more on the NHL, a lot of times, whatever they say, whether it's direct or indirect, behind closed doors, in front of the public, it's heard, and things eventually happen. I have no trouble with it whatsoever.
I don't mind it either. Some people are calling it a show of lack of respect. I don't actually care. I think it's entertaining.
I do too.
I'll take that any day.
Every single
of the week.
Devils fan is saying, thank you, Jack. Thank you, Jack.
We will see. And we'll see if they get a defender as well, because I don't think that their problems end in net. I think they need to add somebody to the blue line as well. Much less entertaining than what we've been discussing about Hughes and Tom Fitzgerald in New Jersey and their need for a goaltender is the absolute cruel nonsense that went on in Columbus this past week. We are not going to credit this podcast, and I suggest you don't even bother, but a Columbus-based Blue Jackets pod basically came out and referenced Patrick Laine, who is now on leave, part of the Players Assistance Program, and basically, I don't even want to use the expression, but basically...
I think you have to.
Made mention of his... Remington retirement.
Yes.
Potential Remington retirement, which is basically alluding to suicide, right? You know what a Remington is? This is off the charts for me. When it comes, I don't often struggle for words. This is
no, you are struggling. And I can absolutely attest to that.
For me. And it's not even about Patrick Laine retweeted it and said, this is completely out of order. I'm paraphrasing there, but this is not cool, I think is what he retweeted about it. And good for him for speaking out. It's not his job to defend himself in this situation, but he did. That's fine. But this is for absolutely everybody who has dealt with mental illness, who has a loved one who has dealt with mental illness and understands the severity of the situation often that it is. This is absolute beyond me. I shut them down and I know they came out with some half-arsed apology. I don't care. Shut them down. And I would ask all fans of the Blue Jackets, if you've been listening to these Yahoos before, please stop. Maybe consider doing what a lot of other people are doing, which is donating $29 to Patrick Laine's foundation that actually helps and boosts mental health care. Consider doing that instead. It was just, again, what a mar. With everything else going on in the last week or so in the NHL, a lot of it fun stuff, and even the Riley drama and all that happening, so many neat things to talk about. Mm-hmm. And just this, it's just such a black mark. It really is. I can't stand it.
I'm not going to talk much about it. I agree with every single thing, every word, every breath, I can't even find the words thing that you said. Despicable. I can't even think of a word that will actually give it such...
It's cruel. Okay, I think it's cruel.
You go say whatever you want. Go to the dictionary, open up two pages, and every single word will follow that. I'm with you. Disgusting. And Patrick Laine, we hope you get better. And everyone's doing everything they possibly can for the most part, except these clowns. To make you get to that point. Last one, Boston Bruins announcing that Monday, February 19th, they will honor Brad Marchand, the pest, the guy that nobody wants to play against, but everybody wants to have on his team. He's going to play his 1,000th game. He played it on Tuesday against Tampa. The guy still is getting it done, 48 points in 52 games. He is the eighth Bruin to play 1,000 games, and he just keeps going up the ranks in franchise history when it comes to points and assists and penalty minutes and whatever. But not only that, just a real huge important part to that team.
I think it speaks volumes that Patrice Bergeron came out for it as well, because those two were partners on ice and really, really good friends off of it for so many years. So it was neat to see him there. Congratulations, Brad. You put it perfectly. You want him on your team. Anybody who says they can't stand the guy also has to, hand to heart, admit they would love to have him. I like him. When he isn't engaged in the silly licking nonsense and all that other BS.
What, you didn't like that?
No, really? Not a big fan. It's really gross.
It's and disgusting. Actually,
and like borderline sexual assault, really. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it really, that stuff, he pushes the envelope a lot with that type of thing. But not a lot isn't fair. He has pushed the envelope with that type of behavior. But the rest of the time, he's a fantastic hockey player. I always root him on when he represents Team Canada on the international stage, and I know you do too. Yeah. So it's a congrats, Brad. Well done.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe just that he needs to keep his licking to the envelopes, because you said it's pushing the envelope, so just keep licking to that.
Okay.
That
all makes sense, right? I see the connection there.
You're good with that.
Yeah.
I'm with you with him.
Not as good as the Riley one.
Look, I can only come up with one real gem, I think, per show, but I'll leave that to the audience to determine that. Yeah, congratulations, Brad. One of the best, and really, when it comes to playoff time, you can get under some. When you're good and you score and you can put up points and you still get under people's skin, you're a really good hockey player, and he is. Okay, that's the East. We will go West. Pucks to Seven again, brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. We will be right back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
We had somewhat of an animated discussion on certain topics. In that first segment, we talked about the East. Welcome back to Pucks and Seven, brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Head over to DamonBarber.ca, use the code PUCKSIN7, no space, and that is the number 7, not written out, at checkout for a discount of 25% off of all their fantastic products. And Vic said off the top, it's Valentine's Day, Love Day, so if you want to get your man all groomed, I think that's funny, grooming for a man, go ahead to DamonBarber.ca.
They're really nice stuff.
They do. No, they really
do. And you can also treat yourself. So
yes.
If you want to get something for yourself as well, you can self-love on Valentine's Day. Nothing wrong
There's
with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
We just toured through the East. 7 major stories. One took up quite a bit more time than the rest.
And it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay. And so now we're probably going to take a slightly quicker tour of the West, because there aren't Morgan Riley suspensions to take any deep
dives. These 7 stories will be done in about 12 minutes.
we could probably do it, but still a lot to get to here. It's just some interesting talking points. So don't leave is what I'm saying. How's about that Jake Oettinger, Ryan, in Dallas right now? Now, Dallas is that team in the West, because we always talk about Winnipeg and Colorado and what Vancouver's doing, and oh my God, look at the Oilers, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, Dallas just continues to win hockey games, largely because of who they have between the pipes. That's Jake Oettinger. He has won, he's only lost once in his last 9 games, one yucky visit to Philadelphia. That's it. He's 8-1, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about Jake Oettinger.
And to your point, no one's really talking about Dallas, and I think that's absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Jake Oettinger, I think it was last year, the year before. I can't remember if it was the coach or one of his teammates or somebody very distinctively said that Jake Oettinger one day soon is going to be in the top 5, maybe the top 3 in goaltenders in the NHL. That is just the strength of his skill that he has. And we were talking too just before we came on for the second segment. Dallas plays extraordinarily well when he's in goal, and that is a testament to not only him but also how much they think of him in goal and how much they can play. The record 30-19-9. His save percentage 906. The goals against 2.9. Played what, almost 1,800 minutes. I'm telling you, he's if you want to pick an MVP of teams, I think it's good to do. I think he's the MVP of the Dallas Stars, easy.
And his numbers are a lot better now And that's
yes.
what you want.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You don't want them. You don't want your goaltender to peak in November. I know points still count. And you got to win the games and it doesn't matter. 2 points a game. Doesn't matter if you win in April or you win in October. I understand all of that. But you want your goaltender. You want all of your best players to peak and play their best hockey leading into March and then April and then absolutely beyond that. I think that the experience you got last postseason is going to make a real difference with the Dallas Stars. I was going to say charge into the playoffs. They're not. When they just quietly stroll into the playoffs. There's only one team in the West that has more points than them, Vancouver Canucks. And we don't talk about the Stars at all.
I know
so
we don't.
We are right now, holy Henrietta, two thumbs up to you, Jake. And it's tough competition, game in and game out.
Yeah, last one on that. I said he had 30 wins. No, that would be impressive. 30 wins in 31 games, 19-9-0-2. So he had 30 starts. But still, winning 19 of your 30 starts
I didn't even notice.
Pretty impressive. Oh, it's okay. I'm all about the knowledge. Just make every time I say those to you, I double check after. And if I need, well, I checked before, but obviously my brain was not working. He's only 25, too. He's only 25 years old. That's it.
He's a young lad.
He's getting in his prime. 26th overall pick in 2017. 26th pick. Anyway, good on Jake. And yeah, I think Dallas is absolutely fine with the fact no one's talking about him. Minnesota, a little bit louder. I still don't think many people are talking about them, but you're on their train. You're on board. They're making noise. You believe in this team, I think.
I have for a long time now.
Yeah.
So it's so they're my favorite loser in the West. We talked about this a few weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
I think that the New Jersey Devils have the best shot of a team on the outside looking in right now, right? Has the best shot of securing a playoff spot in the East.
If they get a goalie.
I said if they get a goalie, they're going to get a goalie. Yeah, right. And in the West, not being a big believer necessarily in, let's say the St. Louis Blues, because I'm not. I just don't think that they have the personnel. I've said that over and over and over and over again this season. And Minnesota's won, again, very quietly, 3 in a row. The next couple of games are against quite, you don't want to call any opponent easy in the NHL, but they are.
Challenging, more challenging. Less challenging.
Yeah. Less challenging. And they're getting goaltending again. The players up front, Kirill the Thrill, Zuccarello, Erickson Ek is on a tear right now. Brock Faber is amazing. And I write about him almost every week for ESPN.com in my fantasy columns because he just doesn't get the fantasy respect he deserves. And that's because he's young and people don't know him. But he's just banging them out right now, Ryan. So look out for the Wild. That's all. No deep dive needed here.
No.
Do not. Disregard. They're 5 points behind the Blues for a playoff spot in the West right now, and I think that's a very, very, very catchable opponent.
Billy Guerin said that Brock Faber has the it factor, which is absolutely true. And I think what they did on Monday, I think they were down early to Vegas, and then they came back to win 5-3.
And so, they beat the Golden Knights.
I mean, that is a testament to all of your points, where this team is going and where this team is at. Yeah, we don't need to do a deep dive into it, but Minnesota playing well. The LA Kings, has the coaching change made a difference?
Oh, boy.
I don't think any coaching changes, to be honest with you, are going to make a difference like it did with Edmonton.
Okay, and speaking of, they looked pretty fantastic Saturday night when they blanked the Edmonton Oilers.
McDavid broke his stick that night. He was not happy, not a happy camper.
And then what happened, Ryan?
Yeah, I know.
The following game, they gave up 7.
See?
To the Sabres.
Okay.
Scored 0.
Yeah.
The Sabres can't buy a win these days.
Yeah.
And the Sabres beat the LA Kings 7-0.
Let me ask you this. And I don't know if we did talk about this when we were addressing Jim Hiller and that he was coming on board for the LA Kings. And again, that first game was against Edmonton, was on the weekend. They did well. They won 4-0. He said there's no structural changes. First practice, no structural, like lines the same, pairings the same, goalies often on the, everybody in the same jerseys. I thought that was very odd. And is that going to be something that he'll have to adapt to and adjust? Because to me, any coach that comes in, it doesn't matter if you've been there before, been on the bench with the coach that now is let go, but you need to put a stamp on your team. And if you think that so-and-so is not playing as well, or if you think so-and-so can maybe do a bit better, then you make that change. I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think that I can't remember if I've seen a story the day after the first practice with the new head coach that everything is the exact same as it was when the coach was let go, the one before him. I think it's strange.
which leads to points. After losing 7-0 to the Sabres, you're darn tootin' they're going to make some lineup changes.
Which goes back to the point to why was McClellan let go then? If they're not going to make any structural changes, if Hiller's not going to do anything fresh on the
voice.
Ice.
Fresh voice. That's fresh it. Voice. Just a fresh voice. Yeah.
Well, then make some changes then.
There are going to changes are a coming. They lost 7-0 to the Sabres. Yeah, and they're now getting to the point that we were discussing earlier in January when the Kings were starting to struggle. They're fine. They're still going to make the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. I don't know about that anymore. This continues. They're not. They could very well fall out of a spot. So they're going to have to turn it around rather quickly. And 7-0 to the Sabres. I know I've already said it 7 times, but honest to goodness, that is bad.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. And you know what, too? If they lost to somebody else who was a lot better than them, but the fact Buffalo, it's not been a very good hockey team this season. Not good. Calgary Flames, they've been playing in the shadow of the Edmonton Oilers. Oh, sorry. You want to talk about the Drew Doughty thing quickly? About
There's just one piece up on ESPN.com. It's written by Greg Wyshynski. He does this every year. I really enjoy these pieces. He polls a bunch of people around the league anonymously so they can speak their truth. Players, coaches, GMs, other insiders, scouts, what have you. And he ranks the top how many players at any given position, defender, forward. It's always a really cool list because you don't know exactly where people are going to fall. And just mentioning some positive light to shine on the Kings for a minute, Drew Doughty actually finished number 10 of the top 10 defenders in the league right now, according to the people who know the game best, arguably, right? So I thought that was pretty neat that Drew Doughty, so many years later, not playing for a great hockey team right now, but with the legacy he has and the effectiveness he still brings out every single night, logging all those minutes, contributing in the way he does, great respect. And I liked reading that.
I will tell you something about him, and you got to see him play as well. He's at 25 minutes and 54 seconds average ice time. I'm not going to go through all the defensemen, but that's up there, if not right at the top of ice time per defenseman in the NHL. And what I noticed with him was I would have him on my team any day. I mean, he's not going to be rushing the puck like a Quinn Hughes or a Cale Makar. He's not going to be doing stuff like a Rasmus Dahlin. That's not his game. But just his attention to detail, where he is on the ice every single time. You don't see him make mistakes a lot. You really don't. And that, to me, is the sign of a great defenseman. After all these years, I'm with you. Good on him.
He also plays with a little bit of pee-pee and vinegar. He does. And I like that as well. Do you remember the rivalry he used to have with Matthew Tkachuk when Tkachuk was in Calgary? Goodness. That was so fun. Yeah. You would tune on the East Coast, you would
just
stay up late.
Just for that.
Just to watch the Flames play the Kings, because you know those two are going to go at it, and they genuinely do not like each other. This isn't one of those, ha-ha, on the ice, let's go have a drink. No. They are not friends at all. And I like the fact that he plays with a little bit of an edge, too, and doesn't really necessarily cross it. Speaking of the Flames, how about them Flames? I know just days ago we talked about this, how they were winning again, and I know that they hit the wall, that is Igor Shesterkin in New York on Monday, but they actually still looked pretty good and they played a heck of a game. And they could have beat the mighty, mighty Rangers. So I think that's a testament as well. So I'm going to ask you this again. Are they still selling at the trade deadline, Ryan?
Yes.
Or are they going to see...
No, you just asked me. Yes, it's my answer. Yes.
Okay, moving on. Because so what are Victoria's thoughts on the Oilers' defense?
Because I told you that, and we talked again about some of this stuff before we came on, about the Jacob Markstrom and all that type of thing. Hannafin's name is there. Tanev's name is there as well. And maybe they're just waiting to get the best offer. But if you have, again, you have two, Tanev and Hannafin, who have said they don't really want to be there. So why keep them on? You punish them for that? No, get them out. I'm not going to repeat myself from last week. Okay. I'll keep it simple. The answer is no, they're not going to keep them. They're going to try to sell and try to get assets back. I still don't think it's a playoff team. I don't, but if they have assets back, maybe it is.
Oh, okie dokie, Smokey. I think they're playing the Sharks and Red Wings this week. They can beat the Sharks. They can beat the Red Wings. That's two more wins. All of a sudden, they're chasing down LA in the Pacific. I just think it's going to be interesting. That's all. And I really do wonder if Hannafin and Tan have changed their mind about sticking around if things become fun again. So we're going to see. It's a fun talking point, and I also love bringing it up because it aggravates you so much. So there's my joy for today. We'll move on from there.
Okay, so this is something new. Vic enjoys to aggravate me. I'm writing this down.
Not all the time.
Occasion. On occasion.
It's a rare treat.
By the way, just thinking before we end the Flames thing, if Hanifin and Tanev now decide, hey, maybe we want to stay, what is that? What message does that send to the rest of the NHL, all 31 other teams? Oh, we may take a chance on them, but if they don't play well, they want out. Think about that for a second.
No, that's a pretty heavy message. You're right. Yeah. It's worth considering for sure.
You have thoughts on the Edmonton defense.
So, you know how they played so much better.
Do that again. So, you know.
Victoria's falsetto. So they started playing better, right? Remember?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And it wasn't even just the Knobloch coaching change. It was the change in defensive coaches.
Yes.
Right.
Paul Coffey getting
I was going to say, including one name that is recognizable to everybody. They really switched things up well, and they've been playing so much better. And if you actually take a deep dive into the analytic numbers, you will see how much better they are defensively. Our pod isn't about that, but you can look them up.
Yeah, yeah.
Honest to goodness. It's the numbers ring true. Here's my concern for the Oilers in general, but specifically their defense.
Okay.
Evan Bouchard, Darnell Nurse, Matthias Ekholm, Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak, and Vincent Desharnais have missed a grand total of 3 games this season.
Oh, you're so okay. So they you're thinking the they're due for injuries. Core. Is that what you're thinking?
I'm worried that they might get one.
And
this
if they
is
do,
the
okay.
healthiest mm-hmm. core of defenders in the NHL by a country mile. Everybody has pretty much played every single game, which is awesome.
Okay, so let's keep it going. Let's keep it going.
I'm wondering, nearing the postseason, when things start to get a little nastier and there's more wear and tear on your body and defenders put in a lot of minutes, man. Like, they don't play, in general, 16 minutes a night. Yeah. I know, of course, some power play specialists do. But in general, they're logging the 20, the 21, the 22, some of them upwards of that. And the wear and tear. Would task the Oilers to bring in somebody. I know they keep on talking about forward depth and bringing in a bottom six forward before the trade deadline. I think this is a greater priority. I think you need somebody. You play these guys, but I think every 3 games, whatever you need, dress 7 defenders. I have no issue with that either. And I know you don't want to mess with the chemistry. I understand that too. I think they need the insurance. I think these bodies break down. I think they need the insurance.
I'm going to stay positive and say that they're not going to break down. And I'm going to stay positive and say that physically, number one, they're not going to get injured. Yes, there's going to be wear and tear. I totally get that. But these guys are built for hockey. You're built for the NHL. You're able to sustain an 82-game season. The cup is the cup. Mentally put that all aside. And I would just say go for it. I think if their priority is going to add on the blue line instead of up front, say third line, fourth line, I don't think that's the right angle to take. But who am I to say?
Right.
I'm not Kenny Holland.
It concerns me when you have 6 guys filling 6 spots and nobody else has really done. They actually are pretty durable bodies too. There isn't a great deal, Darnell Nurse a little bit, but there isn't a great deal of injury history amongst this group. That's a good thing. But I would still be a little bit concerned. I'd like to have somebody else in the mix. Anyway, that's my concern. Those are my thoughts on the Oilers defense.
Phil Kessel. I love him. I do. I absolutely love the guy. So I remember when he won the cup last year, he made that jab or something to Toronto. Hey, I've got 3 cups, yada, yada, yada. And good for you, Phil, you have. You may not look like you're doing anything on the ice, but you've won cups. That's what you do. So he's going to be working out this week in BC in Abbotsford, the home of the Canucks, AHL affiliate. And this is according to Patrick Alvin, who said this on Tuesday. They were talking to his agent. Jim Rutherford was talking to his agent not too long, a couple of weeks ago. I'm good with this. I am.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. He's not done yet. Good for him.
This is an absolutely fantastic story. And if it comes to be that he plays with Vancouver, who's been one of the best hockey teams this season, it's only going to be it's such a low risk, high reward thing. And once again, if he does happen, Phil Kessel's joining a team that is a legitimate cup contender, and they may win the cup. I know it's a long way to go. Totally get it. But what Phil Kessel still brings, he still has passion. I remember, I think he said too at the end of last year, he said, I still love the game. I still want to play. When you still love the game, it's one thing. Oh, yeah, I think I'll come back. No, when you still love the game, then you play as long as that love still exists. Happy Valentine's Day, Phil. That's the tie-in.
I don't mind it as well. I don't mind it at all, I should say. Not as well. I mean, he's only 36, and I know 36 isn't 26, but it's not like he's 48. I mean, he still has some gas in the tank. This is what I like that he brings. He's won 3 times. When you know how to do it.
Right.
It's much easier to do it.
Now, he didn't play a heck of a lot. He didn't play a heck of a lot last year.
But he did in the previous incarnation.
Yeah, I know. I know.
He did beforehand.
He
did with other teams, with Pittsburgh. So he is that guy that you can roll out. You don't need to dress him every game as they didn't last year. You can roll him out, play him his 9 minutes. He can maybe add a little bit of pop to the secondary power play if you need it because somebody else goes down. He's just there.
So
he cares. People like him. Players like this guy.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this one thing. He had 36 points in 82 games for Vegas last season. He played in the first four cup games, and then he was a healthy scratch for the rest. My brain is foggy. Is that because there was just no room for him? There were healthy bodies back? Okay, there was no room.
Remember we talked so much about Vegas had so much success because he didn't get hurt?
That's right. I was just trying to think. Okay, so he was that extra body. He was the insurance you've been talking about. Okay.
That's exactly who you need. And the fact that Vegas, nobody in the, you know, the bottom six, obviously, he's not going to play on the top line. The fact that nobody in the bottom six got hurt was also a big reason that Vegas hoisted the cup by the time that June rolled around. But Kessel was there as well to help if needed. I think that's the same role he would play in Vancouver. If he's as fit as he says he is, and I'm inclined to listen to the guy because he's always been one of those players that looks far less fit than they actually are.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes. Then, 110%. He is, and he is what the NHL is now. What I mean by that is from the waist down, Phil Kessel gets all of his power from the waist down. The upper body is not this toned physique. You don't have to be that way in hockey. When you have that shot that he still has, and when you have the power in the legs, that quick step, he's deadly. Put him on the power play, put whatever, give him 10, 15 minutes. Good for him.
Give him 10.
Give him 10. I've missed him. I have. Give him 10 minutes a period, and I'm fine. No, I'm kidding. Give him 10 minutes a period. Ooh, 30 minutes a game.
Oh, my goodness. No.
You just caught that, didn't you? There you go.
I did.
Okay.
Thomas Chabot numbers.
Yeah. Last one. We talked about Brad Marchand with the 1,000 games. Alex Pietrangelo hitting 1,000 games. Boy, he did. I didn't realize he was at 1,000 games. I had no idea. I didn't.
Really?
No, I didn't. I just maybe forgot. I mean, Brad Marchand, I was thinking more. But when I saw that, I thought, wow, he's played 1,000 games already.
See, I remember some of these players a little bit better when I first started at ESPN and who came into the season to start. And I think he was in my second or third year when I was starting at ESPN, which was quite a while ago.
Right.
So I think 17 years, something like that.
He started 08-09. He played eight games for St. Louis. Yeah.
And so that was my second year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
He was the St. Louis Blue for so long to me that I can almost still picture him playing with Carlo Colaiacovo. There's a throwback.
Carlo, remember
that
pairing?
That pairing was phenomenal that one season. And they were a little bit good now in the radio game. They were fantastic even after that. So to me, he feels like he's been in the league for a very, very, very long time. Even though he is only 34, he is one of my favorite defenders. He's one of my favorite teammates. And I know we're not in the dressing room. I know we're not there, but everything you hear from everybody who has ever played for this guy, whether it's been on Team Canada, with Vegas, or with St. Louis, has all been off the charts positive that you can't help but believe it. I really like that.
16 years in the NHL. He's 34, logging almost 24 minutes of ice time, 43 points a season ago, 31 a season before that, and then 16 and 41 games. And yeah, you're right, he played with the Blues. He is a very, very sturdy and solid defenseman. Just another great piece to that Vegas Golden Knights puzzle.
He isn't only just a great defender, though, Ryan. He has almost 600 points in 1,000 games.
He knows what
to
do.
For a blue liner to post those numbers is extra impressive. Congratulations, Alex.
And Brad. Who's next to 1,000, too? Who's not? I have no idea.
Don't ask me questions I don't have right in front of me.
Oh, we'll come to look that on. Up later. All right.
I don't know.
That'll do it for Pucks in 7. We enjoyed always getting together, too. And we're doing this on Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to everybody. And don't forget, Pucks in 7, you can follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Peyton at Victoria Matiash, on Instagram at PatesRP at Matiash Victoria, and catch us wherever you get your podcasts on the SiriusXM app. Thanks again to DamonBarber.ca. For being with us, and use the code PUCKSIN7 at checkout for an exclusive discount of 25% off on their fantastic products. You have one more thing to say.
TJ Oshie is 7 short of 1,000.
TJ Oshie.
There we go. Celebrate him in a couple weeks. There you go.
Okay. TJ Oshie.
You ask and you shall receive an answer.
Okay. So let me write down a whole bunch of questions for next time and shock you with them at the end. All right. Been a lot of fun. On behalf of Vic, I'm Ryan. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk soon.
Pucks in 7 brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.